Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
You know the TV ratings on that Tigers Mariners game?
The 15 inning game five?
Yeah, just mentioned that.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Well, I'd say most since 2014. Is that what? 2011.
2011.
14 years. Gotcha. Thank you, Brendan.
Thanks, Two Cuts.
So I went back to watch Washington versus Rutgers, preparing for Michigan and Washington.
Okay.
I noticed something. The stands emptied out. That was a Friday night game. Washington at home versus Rutgers. Then I listened to post-game coverage, going back and listening to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The stands emptied out because everybody was leaving to go watch the extra innings of the Tigers-Mariners
game. Oh, because Seattle got you with Washington.
Yep. So, it's just kind of funny. And apparently when the game ended, when Washington and Rutgers ended on Friday night at like whatever it would have been, probably about 10:30, they put the Tigers.
Oh, that's cute.
What?
The game ended at 10:30. Compared to the Tigers.
Yes.
2 hours later, two and a half hours later.
They put the Mariners-Tigers game on the big board at Husky Stadium, and people didn't leave their seats. Not a ton of people, but people were like, oh, I'll stay and watch this. So, anyway.
Then you got to be committed. Like, the stadium's got to be committed because people are saying, we're going to stay here and we'll watch it. So they got to keep that open all night long, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know that they knew that it was going to go 15 innings, but whenever they decided, and apparently there were people still in the stadium, and I guess like the band played, and then some members of the band stayed on the field and watched the game, Tigers Mariners. It's kind of a weird deal, but time to exact some revenge. Not really going to help a lot everybody, but stupid Seattle. All right, so we got some trade stuff here. This is from Pro Football Talk. Football Focus, sorry.
Oh, Football
20
Focus?
Trade candidates ahead of the 2025 trade deadline. So they write about the candidates, and then they have possible fits. I'm going to give you a name, and you tell me if you think the Lions are a possible fit.
Okay.
First name is Trey Hendrickson, edge rusher, Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes, he's a possible fit. We've talked about adding Trey Hendrickson for over a year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Possible fits, 49ers, Buccaneers, Chiefs, Lions. Part of what they write, there's no asset more valuable than Hendrickson, especially if he's not in Cincinnati's long-term plans. The 49ers need a true edge one after Nick Bosa's torn ACL. While the Lions could still use a legitimate running mate next to Aiden Hutchinson, although Al-Qadim Muhammad's 86.2 Pro Football Focus pass rushing grade has impressed.
Now, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN tweeted this out earlier. It says the 49ers, well, this is somebody who tweeted out saying the 49ers view Trey Hendrickson as an ideal fit for their defense, but the Bengals don't seem interested in trading him. That part per Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. So at this point, with 3 weeks until the trade deadline, doesn't look like Cincinnati is willing to move him.
So if I were Cincinnati, I would probably be saying something similar.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't be surprised if that tune changes because you don't give up until you have to give up.
Well, they're going to have to give up, but it's... And with Cincinnati, it's a double-edged sword because he's also dealing with a little bit of a back issue.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful with that. You've got this incredible asset to have to help build your future because you're not signing him to a long-term contract. You're also not, you shouldn't kid yourself. You're not going to make the playoffs. So you need to protect this asset and trade it. It's a tricky time. When do you trade him? Do you trade him ASAP while he's got this back issue or do you wait until the trade deadline, closer to the trade deadline, when things get to a fever pitch with all these teams that are just begging for him?
Next name, Jalen Phillips, edge rusher, Miami Dolphins. Do you think the Lions are a possible fit?
Yeah.
49ers, Buccaneers, Chiefs, Lions. So the exact same four that would be interested in Trey Hendrickson, Jaden Phillips. Miami. Jalen Phillips, sorry. Miami indicated its willingness to deal starting this offseason when it sent Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith to the Steelers with a 26-year-old Phillips set to be a free agent come March. The Dolphins would be smart to sell high, especially considering his extensive injury history. Kansas City and Tampa both ranked 25th or worse in pass rush win rate by edge defenders, with each likely eyeing upgrades at the position ahead of their playoff pushes.
So Jalen Phillips shouldn't cost you much of anything. His first two seasons in the league in 21 and 22, he had 8.5 and 7 sacks respectively. The next year was really looking good for him. He had started 6 games, only played in 8, but he had 6.5 sacks. Last year, he started 3, only played in 4. This year, he has started and played in all 6, but he only has one quarterback sack this year. So, I mean, if the price is right, and the price shouldn't be, I mean, based on that kind of production, would you give up anything more than a 5th-round pick?
I tell you what, given what they're getting out of Elkhwadi Muhammad and what it would mean to go get Trey Hendrickson, I kind of want somebody to rotate with Muhammad and provide good play and depth, or maybe make Muhammad the depth guy, whatever.
So Phillips could work out.
Phillips makes more sense
to
me.
For the right price.
Because of the price.
Yeah.
I agree completely. If you could get Trey Hendrickson for a 3rd-round pick, sign me up.
Yeah, well,
but I don't think that's happening.
It's likely a 1st-round pick for Trey Hendrickson.
Yep. And so I think the better decision would be Jalen Phillips for a lesser-round pick. Because I mean, do you think Elkhwadi Muhammad is an asset? An asset for the, not only now, it's not about what he's done, it's what he's going to do next. Is he going to keep it up?
I like him a lot. I think he's a high motor kind of guy, and we're just kind of scratching the surface to see what he's like when he plays every game. Mm-hmm. He's not playing every down of every game, but this team is going to get healthier on that line as the season goes on, as early as Monday night when Aleem McNeil returns. Now, he's not an end. He's a guy up the middle, but he's another guy that might require a double team, which really frees things up for that guy, Elkhwadi Muhammad. If I could get Trey Hendrickson, I'd do it because, you know, it's a rental, but he's such a proven guy. He's really similar to what you get from Aiden Hutchinson. So to have that, I could, yeah, if you can do it, do it. But I suspect the price is going to be pretty steep to get that. In the meantime, Jalen Phillips shouldn't cost you much. If they're asking for like a 4th or 3rd round pick, I'll pass.
Yeah.
But if it's something in the neighborhood of a 5th and you swap 6 rounds or something like that, okay.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm a flyer.
We're in lockstep here. Edge rusher Kayvon Thibodeau, New York Giants.
I think he's great, but is he going to be on this list? Sure. He should be on the list because he's if Hendrickson's on the list, then why wouldn't Kayvon Thibodeau be on the list?
49ers, Buccaneers, Chiefs, Lions.
Yeah.
Same 4 names. Here's the thing, though. I actually see it less likely that he's going to get to the open market. And the reason is I think the Giants feel like they've caught lightning in a bottle with the Dart Scataboo thing, that they want to ride it. I think they're it's going to be hard to part.
Well, he's in year 4 of his rookie deal. He's obviously being a 1st-round pick. They'll have the 5th-year option. I don't know if they've said that they're going to pick it up or what the case is.
They okay. did, yep.
So he got him through next year. He has not been the impact player that Aiden Hutchinson has been, with 4 sacks, 11.5 sacks, 5.5 last year, and he's got 2.5 this year. He's an awfully good player, very disruptive, and if he played with somebody like Aiden Hutchinson, maybe, just maybe, that those production numbers would go up, although they've got some pretty good players on the defensive line in New York. Again, what's your price? You're talking about a guy who's only 25 years old. That's probably multiple 1st-round picks to get him.
248-539-9797. There's some other names. We'll revisit them later. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. We go to Jeff on a cell. You're on 97.1. Hi, Jeff.
He said that there's something on the web about.
Hey, Jeff?
The president. Larry, that's his son.
We're listening in on a private conversation.
I've said that ever since I moved in.
I'm not sure we should do that.
This is dangerous.
Carol Berger was the president. She never did.
All right, let's. Jeff, I don't want to get him in trouble. We must stay clear of that.
Did we just wiretap someone?
I don't know.
I feel like we did.
Wait a minute.
I feel like, all right, we got him. Keep him on the line.
Was that our Secretary of War just giving out secrets? What was that?
He's about to release some very private information.
Hmm.
Jeff, we just aired your private conversation, bro.
At least half of it. Well, one side of it.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. That's it.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
The car, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. So there's a lot of things afoot here today. If you missed it earlier on our radio station, Dan Campbell, when asked, he didn't bring it up unsolicited, when asked, you got word from the officials that the call came in from New York to overturn the call that the of illegal motion on Jared Goff on the touchdown pass. That's what you were told. Yes, it was. They circled back and they said, have you been told anything else or just that it came from New York? I'm paraphrasing there. So don't, we actually have this. Okay, let's play it. Here it is.
Pretty cut and dry right there.
Yep.
That's like, I feel like Costas playing the role of the prosecutor and Dan Campbell's on the witness stand.
You want me on that wall? You need me on that wall?
Yeah, just give me yes or no answers. Okay, here you go.
So the topic came up with Jared Goff when we spoke to him earlier today, and here's what Jared said.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Okay, then, is what I said there.
All right.
Because I had a whole bunch of questions.
So, I
did. Well, to be fair, I said, okay, because I got a bunch of follow-up questions. You said, no, I don't think it does any good to keep talking about this.
No, because you said we got beat.
Yes.
We were beat.
Yep.
And that's really what it is. We have to move on. We have to get better because we didn't play well enough. And that's the right attitude to take. That's what Dan Campbell's done from day one since he's been here. They don't dwell on the mistakes that officials make or because they don't want to blame it. As you point out, the reason thinking behind it, and I agree with you 100%, is that they don't want that as an excuse for not playing well enough.
Yep.
You didn't play well enough. That's why you lost the game, not because some official, you know, was buzzed down onto the field and said, hey, by the way, that's an illegal formation because he can't go underneath center or behind center and then go into motion. He has to back up, freeze for a second, and then he can go in. Oh, okay. I mean, they lost because they lost, because they got beat by 13 points.
And to be fair, what's controversial about this is that after the game, the official was asked, did the call come from New York? And he said, no. I said, so it was just the crew on the field. He said, yes. Again, paraphrasing. I can read the direct quotes, but I've done that several times already. There were other plays, like the Kelce catch trapped against the ground, that didn't get buzzed from New York. But again, they're moving on. It's just, it's a point of frustration for the fans. 248-539-9797. Also, Alex Bregman in the headlines. The guy that the Tigers flirted with last year is, according to reports, sources indicating he's opting out of his contract with Boston, which means we can do it all over again. Would you? We talk to the people as we go to Dave in Ann Arbor next. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
What's up, guys? It's been it was a rough loss, you know, they call it whatever. But what it comes down to for me is Jameson Williams, man. What is going on? This guy has dropped every pass that is his way. And it's what? Like, I know he's having a bad season, right?
I don't know what you're talking. I'm sorry, did J-Mo drop a pass against the Chiefs?
Yeah, he's been dropping them all season.
Did he drop? I don't recall him dropping passes against the Chiefs. In fact, I recall him making plays all over the place. The previous week, he dropped the pass.
He was targeted seven times and had six receptions.
So you don't think it's been a problem this season?
No, I don't. I don't think it's been a problem at all.
I agree to disagree because, we have so much potential on the weapons with the offense, right? And we have so many players that are available. And I just think that with the production that this offense is capable of, you know, and talking about all these contracts with, you know, that we have to fulfill in the upcoming years, I really think that he's just an overrated player at this point that we could be used as a tool to trade and potentially get some, you know, better back.
Yeah, well, they signed him to a contract. They gave him the extension, and he's going to be here for a minute. Look, I mean, when you say he's a problem, I look at the guy as a problem. Okay, is that why they lost the game? Did they lose to the Packers because Jameson Williams didn't catch passes? He caught 4 out of 5. Did they lose to Kansas City because he didn't catch passes? He caught 6 out of 7 targets, and I don't think either one of those in either one of those games was a drop.
I found his drop numbers this year. How many drops do you think he has this year, Dave?
I think he has about 6, correct?
He has two.
So maybe there's overthrown passes that I'm seeing that, it's just not catchable.
Maybe you just don't like Jameson Williams.
No, I love Jameson Williams. I've been a big fan of him since day one. I know it doesn't. And it's a different perspective. But from just watching my eyes watching the game, I'm just not seeing it. The numbers that we're paying him, I don't see it click. I don't see it.
You didn't like the touchdown reception he had where he
ran
extended,
through a guy,
caught the ball, run, and then pinballed into the end zone.
I'm going to be honest with you, Clark. Man. I'm going to be honest with you. I lost some bets on him. You know what I mean?
All right, there it is.
So you lost some money. Got it.
He made bets that he lost. It's J-Mo's fault.
Right. Well, if he had J-Mo with more than 100 yards receiving, ends up with 66, then I can't stand that.
You know what's funny is you keep somebody on the line long enough, you learn a lot.
Yeah, well, probably should have gone. That should have been a go-to. Or is he on your fantasy team is the other one.
That's a good one. That's it.
You got him on your fantasy team, you're upset because he's only got 17 receptions on the season, 2 touchdown passes. We all thought this was going to be a monster year for J-Mo, and it still can be. He's got so much talent. Love the guy.
He's like, I just don't see it, guys, especially my prop bets. I just don't see it. Why are we paying this guy so much? But if you want to talk real football, Jameson Williams does so many things that doesn't show up on the stat sheet that helps this team on offense, like stretching the field. Just the threat of him being
he
on the field and going deep.
He takes a safety away every play.
Yeah. And then on top of that, he actually is a really good blocking receiver.
He's a great blocking receiver.
But I don't think there's a prop bet on blocks for receivers. That's why he might have lost his bet.
Need to find a way.
Mm-hmm.
Tom and Shelby.
Get on it, FanDuel.
Tom and Shelby, you're next. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good afternoon.
Hey.
Hey, I want a couple things. Last night, Dodgers win. Yamamoto, 3 hits, 1 run, throws 111 pitches. right? That's playoff pitching to me. And then we got the Stubel on the opposite end. Was there ever any solid information after speaking with Harris or Hinch that was it Hinch's? Did he pull him or did
AJ
say,
said,
I don't have any gas left in the can?
AJ said that he had the conversation with Tarek Skubal prior to the sixth inning. They both mutually agreed the sixth inning was going to be it for him. And he laid it all out there on the field, throwing 101 miles an hour, and that was it for him.
Okay. And you guys have complete faith otherwise, huh?
Well, I mean, they did go 15 innings against the team. So, I mean, if you left them in for another inning, was that going to prevent?
Well, they did score a run the inning they took him out. What we don't know, here's the thing we won't know, Tom. We won't know if they left him in if they would have scored four runs.
Like, would have put,
you know, and we just, we don't know what would have happened had they left him in. They did score one off the guy that replaced him. You know, I do. I have complete faith, like 100%. I know what happened. I don't know.
Sour over here.
Yeah, I get it.
A little sour.
No, I'll tell you this, Tom, and I'll, you know, from my own personal view on that, watching the game, of course, I wanted him to stay in the game. Like, he's only thrown 90, whatever it was, pitches, 97 pitches, 98 pitches. I wanted to see Tarek Skubal throw up to 120 if he had to. And it wasn't because that's what the commentators were saying. I was literally texting my friends. We were in a text thread together all night long saying, I'd love to see him go 120 if he had to, just carry this team on his back. Because we talked about it all day on Friday about, you know, what kind of effort they're going to need from Skubal. It's going to have to be a Herculean effort. And he goes six innings, and he was dominant in the six innings. And I felt like, there's still more, isn't there? And they decided that between he and A.J. Hinch that it was just going to be the six.
Should they have left him in there? I mean, when you lose a game like that, you would be willing to go back and literally change anything that could be second-guessed.
Yeah, right.
Because this one hurts. This one hurts a lot. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket. All right, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I like looking at the inverse, the opposite. So, Gator, if the Detroit Red Wings tonight beat the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, would a win tonight over Florida, the two-time champion, elicit the inverse reaction of the opener when they lost so embarrassingly?
No, it will not.
No, don't answer yet.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Because remember after that, it was just negative and it was a doomsday scenario for Red Wing fans.
Yeah, I was there. It was ugly.
Yeah. So tonight, if they win to improve to 3-1 and a little winning streak here and beat a team like Florida, are people going to be actually like optimistic?
Oh, well, that's a different question.
It kind of is, yeah.
I think that it's very encouraging with the back-to-back wins over Toronto. Mm-hmm. You're taking on the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions here tonight at LCA, which is, okay, great. But it's Florida light. There's no Tkachuk. There's no Barkov. They've got other players that are out. I mean, you're losing two of your best players. That's tough. Now, the Red Wings are going to be without Lucas Raymond. Mm-hmm. So maybe now that kind of levels that playing field a little bit. So leave more room to be a little bit impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see that the players are building off of what they've started here, that the newcomers are still going to be contributing in a way that looks like these are solid moves, whether they were free agent acquisitions or they were promotions. You want them to be solid moves that are going to pay off in the long term. Hard to really determine that after a fourth game of the year, but I will certainly be encouraged if they win. But no, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, they just took it to the Stanley Cup champions.
No.
No.
I was kind of optimistic, but no.
I mean, look, you can be optimistic. I'm not going to tell you how to feel.
That's true. Optimism is different. Optimism is different than the inverse. The inverse would be we're going to the ship, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, had we known that Seattle was going to be this juggernaut, how would we have felt the second series of the season when the Tigers beat them 2 out of 3 games or whatever it was?
Let's get back to your open line calls. Jeff on a cell. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call, and sure. I really appreciate your conversations that you're having. Number one, I'm down in Florida, and I know you both hate the state of Florida. I just got done golfing. It's beautiful down here. But Dave call with the JMO, is he out of his mind? The guy's one of the best weapons in the NFL. He's not, you know, he's still growing, maturing, but to get rid of James, that kid's nuts.
Well, in Dave's defense,
it's not much of a defense, but he did come clean.
Yeah, he was wagering, so.
Well, he should maybe stick to some scratch-off tickets here and there. But at the end of the day, Scooble, to me, guys, think about this for a minute. He had a conversation with A.J. All right, this is going to be our last. What do you think A.J.'s got to be thinking? He called him the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, would J.V. or Jack Morris ever go, you know what, I can't go out for the seventh? And let's say he does. Let's just, you know, he goes out of the seventh and he gets barreled up on a couple hard outs. Like they just, his velo's down. He drops 4 or 5 miles per hour. Okay, let's get the guy out. But Scooble doesn't want to go out.
I got to tell you, it wouldn't be as simple as, okay, let's get the guy out. It would be all out criticism for leaving him in. I mean, didn't that happen in Boston with Pedro Martinez famously and he got shelled?
Yeah, that did. And I guess one, I would say this, Jeff.
You couldn't let him see it.
If those batters score, if they come around and score, yeah.
I would say this, Jeff. I don't think it's fair to make comparisons with Tarek Skubal in 2025 to Jack Morris in 1984, or even Justin Verlander in his heyday with the Tigers, you know, back in 2015, because it's a different era of baseball. It just is. You know, now 100 pitches is like the standard. That's it. You're done after 100. No. And guys, like it or not, it is what it is.
It's hard to get used to.
Yeah, I don't love it either, Jeff. I don't love it. I would have let him pitch another inning. I think he had plenty of gas. He was still throwing over 100 miles an hour. I would have wanted to see it. But, you know, maybe the reason he was still throwing over 100 is because he was amped up and he knew that that was going to be it. He was just going to leave it all out there, which is what they discussed. According to AJ Hinch, that's what they discussed. It was going to be after
as
six.
As a competitor, don't you want a guy, your ace and your team, to go, listen, AJ, I got to go out there.
Sure,
man.
but as the manager of the team, you have to be wise enough to know when you think enough is enough. Not when the player does, but when you think. And sometimes I think it's really encouraging. They look at that and like, this guy's a worry, wants to go back out there, let's give it to him. And in other cases, they're like, we're going to save him from himself, and we're not going to do that because we see signs of fatigue or whatever. But in the end, they made the decision together, and it's going to be something that
is going to get talked about forever. It's honestly going to get talked about forever.
I just hope they don't rue it. But there's some ruining.
Well, I think there's already ruining.
There's ruining.
Yeah.
Because they end up losing the game.
If you don't know what happens if you leave him in. And if you so we can go back and change a whole bunch of decisions. Would I do it now? Yes. Because they lost the game. They lost the game. So every decision that you can do differently might have led to a win. Whether it was putting Justin Henry Molloy in favor of Kerry Carpenter at some point. You know, you just every decision, like you would you change it? Yeah, because it might work.
I mean, you know, you'll go back and look at that inning. Struck out Crawford, Rosarena popped up, struck out Cal Raleigh. And then coming up in the seventh inning, you had Rodriguez come in. He flew out. Mm-hmm. Blanco walked. Suarez flew out to right. And then that's when things started to get a little funky there. Josh Naylor, and you're starting to look at flipping the lineup again. Yeah, I would have left him in. But I'm not going to destroy A.J. Hinch or Tarek Skubal for it. I'm not going to question Tarek Skubal's toughness or his leadership if he wanted to stay in and he didn't voice it loud enough. You know, that's between those two guys. As a fan, it's disappointing. We're used to seeing guys really go after it when you're the best of the best.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
248-539-9797. Brian's in West Landon next. Hello, Brian.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up?
So regarding the Lions game, just give a little context. My wife and I flew home from Las Vegas Sunday night for my little brother's wedding, and we're watching the game on the plane. And, you know, the whole plane's got it on their TV sets on Delta. And I had my headphones in, and when that first call got made, I let out a rather yelled, rather loud GD yet.
Which
and,
call?
My wife elbowed me in the side. Like, you can't yell on the plane, Brian. I'm like, well, everyone else is watching the same freaking thing I am.
Which call was the first call? The overturned touchdown?
Brian?
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I think he said he didn't, right? Maybe he did.
Sounded close to it, but.
All right, fair enough. He was whenever he did swear. Well, he kind of, if he let out a GD, I guess he did. Look, it doesn't sit well with the Lions. They sound like they've moved on. In fact, Dan Campbell just answered the question, yes.
Look, they can't dwell on it. They absolutely have to put it in the past. They got a really good best record in football. The 5-1 Buccaneers tied with the 5-1 Indianapolis Colts. These are the best teams in the league. And Tampa is a team that they've seen each of the last couple seasons. So I'm in a postseason. Lions got the better of them. And then last year, didn't they play? And Tampa got the better of the Lions. So here you go. And Tampa's playing awfully well. Baker Mayfield is...
Lions beat Tampa last year.
Did they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because the Lions, the only two games they lost were at home, right?
I thought it was Buffalo and Tampa who they lost to, wasn't it?
Would that have been? Yeah, that was here. I'm sorry. You said at Tampa. It was here, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was here.
I apologize.
Sorry, did I say at?
You did say at. I
say at.
Yeah.
They lost against Tampa last
year.
Yeah,
and I'm like, wait a second. They didn't lose.
Baker Mayfield has absolutely resurrected his career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's what they have to focus on. It's a tough football team. We asked Jared Goff about, you know, is there one player on defense that you have to look out for? And he's like, yeah, Vita Vea every week. He's a monster.
Baker is so fun to watch. He plays the game like a linebacker, and it's because of that. I don't think he'll finish the season.
He may not. And
it's
we'll
tough
see
to
how,
make it through the season as a standard quarterback, let alone one that's inviting contact.
How healthy is that team going to be on Monday night with the receiving core? That's a question. They might get Evans back, but they don't have Abuka and Godwin, I think, both out. So
248-539-9797. More your phone calls and feedback coming up. We'll get to more of those names that were floated out there as trade possibilities to Detroit. That in the 1 o'clock hour. We got a 10 text question today at 12:56. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 a ticket. Got a 10 text question coming up in about 9 minutes. Next hour, we'll get to more of those trade rumor thingies. Not rumors, but proposals or players that could be available and teams that could be interested in the National Football League. All that coming up next hour here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Let's get back to your phone calls. Dan is in Warren and next. Hello, Dan.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Dan.
I wanted to chime in about the Red Wings.
Yeah.
I know it's early in the season, but I think just like last spring and the spring before that, they will implode when the going gets tough. The Wings check out. Happens every spring, just like the Tigers this fall. When the going gets tough, our teams check out, unfortunately.
So when the going got tough, the Tigers, each of the last 2 years, won the opening round of the playoffs.
Yeah, was the going, hold on, yeah, Dan, let me ask you, was the going not tough in the first round of the playoffs? Or is the going only tough when they lose?
No, it's how they got there. They lost 20 of last 25 games.
Yeah, and they ended up in the same spot that you wanted to end up.
But was the going tough in the Cleveland series?
Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know what it is, Dan? It's a very safe position to say our team will fail. It is a very safe position because only one team is happy when it's all said and done.
I'm going by history. The Wings, have imploded the last two springs, have they not?
What relevance, what makes you compelled to pick up the phone and call today and just predict doom in 3 months, 4 months?
Because I'm frustrated. I'm agitated.
In fairness, today is National Grouch Day.
That's right.
Dan, they got a game tonight against the Stanley Cup champions, and you just, I'm intrigued, felt compelled to pick up your phone and call us and basically say, it doesn't matter, it's not going to work out.
Well, they might win tonight, but when you talk about the season as a whole, they're going to flounder just like they did last year.
So you just want to check anybody that's going to be optimistic or encouraged by the start and look at how, you know, they've added some different faces free agent wise and the rookies getting a chance to play. You just want to douse all that and just say, hey, remember, spring still comes around.
It's all going to suck in the end.
Did it make a difference last year?
Well, last year they didn't really have the rookies playing on the team. But
yeah, last year was a different team.
Yeah. So. But I mean, if that's what you want to do, if you want to sit there and with the hose and, you know, pour water on people to get excited about it, then I'm just encouraged.
Actually, at no point really did we get too far looking ahead, other than to say that it's kind of a big game tonight.
Yeah, they might beat the Panthers today, but could they beat them in the spring? That's, you know, I guess it remains to be seen.
Anything else that you want to? What about the Lions? Are the Lions going to fold when the going gets tough, Dan?
The Lions were besieged by injuries last year. You know, I hope it didn't happen again this year. But, you know, maybe I'm just too long of a sports fan. I've been rooting for Lions for 60 years, and they've done nothing. Last year was the first year they ever won 15 games.
Well, that's hard to do.
That's true, yeah. You know, cancer kills cats.
We're all going to die anyway.
I mean, at some point you stop having sex. You know, your teeth are likely to rot at some point. Hope you enjoyed the hair while it lasted.
If you don't lose your hair, it's going to go gray.
Holy Debbie Downer. I mean, I get it. Today's National Grouch Day. This is what you asked for.
I didn't. No, we didn't. We didn't ask for people to call up and be grouchy.
Who's your favorite grouch? Dan. I mean, Dan makes Oscar the Grouch look like he's the most optimistic guy in the world.
We brought up earlier this hour, just kind of, hey, do you think if the Red Wings win tonight, people will have the inverse reaction to the opener? Like, they'll be all fired up.
You were joking.
I kind of was joking, yeah. But it's nice to see them show a pulse since the opener was so depressingly bad, right?
Can I ask Kenny a question?
Sure.
So, Kenny, you're screening the calls. When Dan called up and he was presenting to you what he was going to say, How is that working back there with you? Like, did you think, wow, three games into the season, this guy's already bringing up the March collapse?
When you're screening the calls, you have one of two options. You can either openly just argue with the guy and try to figure out what his perspective is, or you can be like, I'm going to let these guys deal with it because he's going to do it again regardless. Right? Yeah. I chose option B.
Oh, yeah, not faulty. I'm just curious how the conversation went behind there because, yeah, we need it. I needed that call today.
He was the grouch. It's appropriate for the day.
But Dan was sitting around listening to the show and said, I need to make sure everybody knows.
Wait a minute. Are they encouraged by the Red Wings? Don't they know the last 3 years about the spring collapse, the March collapse? Do they not know? Yeah, we know. We know. I'd like to think the third time was the charm, so we don't have the fourth.
We watch tonight anyway.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Jeremy is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Jeremy.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. I feel like my call is going to be super sad and depressing, too.
Can't be that. Already you sound more up than our guy, Dan.
Dan Scootle, man. That was a wild call. I was just comment on the Scooble thing. I agree with what you guys were saying that, you know, we're at a different age. You can't compare him to how guys used to pitch back in the day. But would you guys agree that it makes it harder to give him a $40 or $50 million contract knowing that even at his best, you need two more pitchers to close out a game that he starts? Like, doesn't that take away from, you know, my ability to...
Jeremy, only if that's the if there are other pitches in baseball that would, you know, say that that's not how it works. We go 100 every time. If that was the case, then I'd say, yeah, probably not. And you don't pay him that. Now, I know last night you had a guy go over 100 pitches and had the complete game. And
every time it happens this postseason, we're going
to
get called.
we're going to hear about it. I get it. And I can't. It's hard to really combat it because, yes, I would have left him in the game and had him pitch the seventh inning in game five. I 100% would have done that. But they chose not to for their own reasons.
No, and I understand that, but yeah. I guess my point is when you're a team that's not like the Dodgers or any of these other teams that's going to have an astronomical payroll, if you commit that much to it, to one player, but then you know even at his best on his days he starts, you still need two or three high-leverage guys in the bullpen to be able to close out a game so that, you know, are you allocating your money properly, even though, yes, he's the best pitcher in baseball, and I love Terry Skubel as a Tiger, but like I said, we saw him at his absolute best, and we still would have required two or three high-leverage guys to win that game.
The other question you ask yourself is that does paying Terry Skubel, and this is the question that you have to ask, does paying Terry Skubel the money, whether it's $45 million a year or $50 million a year in a long-term contract, does that prevent you from adding those other pieces to the team that are going to help secure those wins?
Yeah. Can you still build complete team with paying Skubel with you?
And I think the answer is yes, you can. Their payroll right now, looking at what it's projected to be before they add free agents, is about $131 million. Mm-hmm. And I still think that's almost $100 million less than where they can go.
Yeah.
And this team is humming along, made the playoffs each of the last 2 years, gotten to the, you know, one game away from getting to the ALCS in both years. This is not dissimilar from what they had a dozen years ago when the thing was rolling, when they had the Verlander teams and Miggy teams and all that, right? And this is a team that's younger. So you think they can grow and get better and just add those extra pieces if you spend the money.
All right, we got a lot more phone calls to get to. Jared Goff, 130, if you missed it earlier. In the meantime, Gator, little quiz here. I want 10 texts.
10 texts.
This huge brand was almost called Cargo House. What huge brand in the United States of America was almost called Cargo House? We'll take the first 10 texts. Sign your text. What huge brand was almost called Cargo House? I want your guess and Kang's guess. We'll get to the answers coming up straight ahead here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.